news and more, including state-by-state reports on the nation's premier youth organization. This is FFA Today on Rural Radio 147.
Hello, and welcome to this week's FFA Today. I'm your host, Janet Atkinson. And do you know an FFA member who makes small products as part of their supervised agricultural experience project? Well, the National FFA would like to give these products as gifts at their events. From pins, cutting boards, and backpacks to t-shirts, mugs, and lanyards, anything non-perishable applies. You can email Stephanie Kappus at skappus@ffa.org to learn more. And there's lots of great deals right now at shopffa.org. Now through Sunday night, get any two hats for only $30 when you use the coupon code HATS2430 at checkout. Get 20% off Carhartt jackets with promo code CARFALL19 and get free personalization on select apparel now through the 30th. That's all right now at shopffa.org. And of course, if you're gearing up for the National FFA Convention, check out the National Convention's Guide, available online. This guide is a great resource for advisors who bring students to the National Convention and even includes a follow-up component for use after the convention. You can get it today at ffa.org. And finally, with thousands of dollars in leadership scholarships distributed to chapters and states across the country, any chapter or state that received leadership scholarship funds is required to complete the Leadership Scholarship Report form by October 1st. That's to be eligible for future scholarships. You can email alumni@ffa.org with any questions. And now with new chapters being added and membership increasing, it's a pretty exciting time for the Montana FFA. State officers have been leading district leadership schools across the state and even got some help from one of the national officers. The Northern Ag Network checks in.
Hi, everybody. Colter Brown here from the Northern Ag Network. Today, we're broadcasting from Laurel at the FFA District Leadership School. The Montana FFA state officers have been driving around the entire state leading these workshops with today's FFA members and helping them build their leadership skills. And they've been getting a little help from Shay Booster. Shay's the National FFA Vice President from Oregon. And Shay, we're really glad to have you here. You know, one of the exciting things about Montana FFA right now is the growth. We've got 5,100 members, 98 chapters statewide, two new ones in East Helena and Rappelejay, so pretty exciting. Is that trend carrying through nationwide? Are we seeing that growth?
Absolutely. National FFA is definitely on an up curve of population and membership in terms of our organization, which is really cool to see that it's not only, you know, the rural areas, but the more urban areas of all states. So Billings has got a new chapter that's growing right now, and some of those students may not have a production ag background, but we still want them to be a part of the organization. We still want them to grow an appreciation for agriculture, and we want them to have experiences like this.
Absolutely. Well, that's an interesting point you make, that not everyone has a production ag background, because there's less people involved in agriculture nationally, I would say, but FFA is growing. So what is it about FFA that really draws these kids in?
Now more than ever, we see a trend in our culture to know where your food and fiber comes from, especially in those urban centers, those metropolises. People want to know where their clothing's come from. They want to know where their food comes from. They want to know that what they're putting in their bodies is safe. And so I think that's carrying as a trend throughout the country. National FFA has chapters in 25 of the largest cities in our country. So from New York City to Chicago to Miami, FFA is present in those urban centers. And so I think that students are realizing, communities are realizing, parents are realizing that FFA is important because it gives their students knowledge about agriculture that they're going to be able to carry with them throughout their lives.
Shay, we really appreciate it.
Now, thank you, Colter. Appreciate it.
Well, thanks again to the Northern Ag Network for that story. And now we head to the Bluegrass State, where the Kentucky FFA Association introduces us to the 2019 Kentucky FFA State Star in Agribusiness, Matt Rallett of the Madison Southern FFA Chapter.
Around here, living off the land is a way of life.
We are here from Berea. We're a small town where everybody knows everybody. And so farming was just kind of in the blood and something I've always enjoyed.
I kind of joke that Matt was born with a tractor in his hand. He has always wanted to be outdoors, doing, building, playing, doing something outdoors. But we raised our kids to understand that if you want something in life, it doesn't get handed to you. You've got to work for it.
Matt took that lesson and launched a lawn business his freshman year in high school.
Well, we mow about 50 yards weekly. We also take care of landscaping throughout the whole summer.
The last 4 years have been extremely busy for Matt. Along with his FFA work and volunteering, he's also found the time to build a business from scratch. Matt was awarded the 2019 State Star in Agribusiness for working the land. He's hired an employee and credits the Madison Southern FFA chapter for helping to grow his business.
I met him a year ago, almost today. First SAE visit, first day, was right here. Just looking around that you can see the potential in him. Just for his state degree, his business, and just talking to him, like, there's a lot here, and we can grow and polish that. Something that we talked about is getting some other equipment, expanding, whether that was he now has a leaf removal business and a snow removal business. Those are some ideas that we talked about.
FFA really helped on my business end because it helped kind of regulate and help take care of all my financial stuff to keep it lined out and know where all the money was spent.
Matt's looking ahead to college and beyond.
He's going to take care of me. No. You know, the sky's the limit. We've always taught our kids that they can do whatever they really want to do.
I want to be a billionaire. I want to be able to afford property someday. I mean, I want to move out and build my own house. I'd love to live out here someday, so hopefully that'll boom. And then, like I said, I'd like to own a nursery one day, so enough money to sustain that and a couple employees full time.
Congratulations, Matt Rowlett, 2019's State Star winner in agribusiness. You've earned it.
And lastly, we're off to California, where six top FFA officers recently visited Fresno for a conference, taking tours of places like ag facilities at Fresno State and, of course, much more. CBS 47 Eyewitness News has the scoop.
Every year, six students are elected to hold the top statewide leadership positions in the Future Farmers of America. It's an ag education program. These students take a year off college to travel the state promoting ag in the classroom. Justin Sechter introduces us to one of them.
Six FFA officers, California's top young leaders in agriculture, came to Fresno for a conference, taking tours of places like agriculture facilities at Fresno State, and even a tour of CBS 47 Eyewitness News.
We also do a lot of industry tours, things like meeting with Foster Farms. We just did a dairy tour in Turlock.
The elected officers come from all over California.
Travel across the state, visit members, visit chapters, put on leadership conferences, to help make the connection between leadership and education, as well as the industry of agriculture.
Lindsay Swall is FFA state secretary. She grew up on a walnut farm in Tulare.
Initially, my senior year, I ran for state office, and I wasn't elected. And so I went to Fresno State for a year as a plant science major, and then decided to take the leap, rerun for state office, and was elected.
The students take a year off college or a year before college and live and work together at the FFA Center near Sacramento.
Along with the house where we live is also a classroom, a business center, where the FFA Foundation and Association runs out of. And so they have a dormitory for the six state officers that are elected annually.
For Swall, it's an invaluable opportunity as well as a chance to give back.
We're the breadbasket of the world, and so I think it's important that we have leaders and students who are continuing their education in college, also going back and being involved in production agriculture.
Justin Sechter, CBS 47.
Well, don't go anywhere. We'll see how FFA members in Iowa turned up the excitement at the state fair next on FFA Today. Welcome back to the show. And now we check in with the Iowa FFA Association, who highlights just a fraction of the fun and excitement that FFA members in the Hawkeye State had at this summer's Iowa State Fair.
What's up, Iowa FFA?
Hey, I'm here with
Wyatt Bailey.
And he's from the Southeast Polk chapter. Wyatt Bailey, what's going on here?
So right now we're in the Animal Learning Center. It's located on kind of the north side of the Iowa State Fair. And the Animal Learning Center is kind of a way for the public to come and see what agriculturalists all across Iowa do. So we have beef cattle, we have dairy cattle calves, we have sows and them farrowing. We have sheep and goats. chicks and chickens and turkeys too, and ostriches.
All right, and your chapter kind of sets this up and gets it going, right? So how long does it take you guys to get this all ready to go?
This ALC project is a year-long thing. We start artificially inseminating all the cows 10 months ago. So it's we are planning constantly throughout the year, making sure that this learning center goes off without a hitch.
That's awesome. Do you know how your chapter got started with this project?
This is the 13th year that our chapter's been doing this. It's been something that the Iowa State Fair asked a local chapter to do. And since we're from Southeast Polk, it's not that far away from the State Fair. It's really easy for our chapter to come and get set up here. Our chapter's also, we have about 150 members. So we have enough members to have to work all the shifts here.
That's awesome. Yep. This is a super cool thing. So next year at the State Fair, make sure you check it out. Thanks, Wyatt.
Thank you.
My name is Joe Westlake, and I'm from the Indianola FFA chapter.
Could you tell us a little bit about your project here today?
Yes, so this was my grandpa's first tractor that he bought back, one of the first ones. He lived Corning, Iowa, and he didn't have much growing up, and this was a very big purchase that he ever made. And back in the day, it was a big piece of machinery. Nowadays, it doesn't look like much, but I still have a lot of connections to it. He passed away in 04. There's a lot to it. 04 to 06 is how long it sat, and then we moved it up to a barn. We only pulled it up to the barn, and the barn ended up getting hit by a tornado, and it flipped the barn over on top of it. So it pretty much just ruined the whole tractor, and ever since then, this is the only one we kept from his auction. And ever since then, I've always wanted to restore it. I knew there was many hours worth of work to be done due to the tornado and just wear and tear over the years, but we finally got enough time, and I went ahead and got after it and finally got it done.
Awesome. So what was the most difficult part about restoring your tractor?
One of the most difficult things I would say would be the float ride seat. Just as when the tornado came, the barn snapped that off backwards.
Wow.
And not only is it hard to just rebuild in the first place, because it's hard to find parts for tractors this old, but the parts for the seat, there's limited parts you can get. So a lot of them I had to straighten out and reuse, but due to the tornado, it just moved everything around, and it was difficult to get that back on, but it was a great project and lots of fun.
All right, and one last question for you here. What would you say to other members who are thinking about maybe getting involved with tractor restoration but don't know where to start?
One thing I would say is start off, get a tractor. There's plenty of help out there. Many of older gentlemen and people that have interest in this, it's great learning experience. There's so much to be learned. Just I knew quite a bit, but I didn't know everything, and from doing this I learned 10 times more than I ever would have thought I would have, and it's just a great learning experience all around.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Tyler Comas, the Southwest State Vice President, and with me today is...
Lainey Graff from the Sigourney FFA chapter.
So, Lainey, tell us a little bit about your tractor.
So, I decided last year that I wanted to restore a tractor to bring up here and show off to everybody. And we kind of looked online and stuff and tried to figure out affordable options and ended up finding this one up in Minnesota. And we decided that we were going to restore it and use it to rake hay after fair was over.
Awesome. So what was one of the most challenging things you found when restoring your tractor?
This has been repainted once, but I don't think it's ever been cleaned. So every bit of grease and dirt that was on the tractor just got sprayed over. So I spent more hours cleaning it than I actually did fixing it. And also, it was my first time ever using a paint gun. So this is how I learned to paint. And the entire process, my dad kept telling me that I picked the worst thing possible to learn on.
So what was one of the most rewarding things you did after restoring your tractor?
The fact that I got to bring it up here and I managed to get third place my first year. And that when I go home, we're going to cut hay soon, so I get to rake hay with it.
Awesome. What would you say to someone that maybe is considering restoring your tractor? What's a piece of advice that you would give to them?
Probably find what your budget is first, and then figure out what kind of tractor will fit in that. And if you're still young enough that you have time to get a good job to fund your tractor, that's probably a good idea, because anything that's not red is expensive.
Awesome. Well, Lainey, your tractor looks awesome, and thank you so much for interviewing today.
Thank you. Yeah.
All right. Hi, guys. I'm here with Phoebe. And Phoebe, can you tell us a little bit about the project you exhibited earlier at the fair?
I exhibited the Reserve Champion FFA Market Lamb. His name's Big Al. We named him after Al Schminke, his breeder, who's also from Iowa.
Very cool. Now, can you tell us a little bit about what it took to raise this animal and how you prepared for the show?
To prepare for the show at home, we walked him up and down the driveway. We treadmilled him. We put him on the round walker. We wrapped legs. There's a lot entailed to it.
That is so interesting. What's your favorite part about working with your lamb?
Getting to hang out with my brother. It's something we've always done together, so just growing a bond over the years with him is fun.
Awesome. So what would you tell other members who might want to get into the sheep project but they don't quite know where to start?
Don't be intimidated. Go into the barns, ask questions. Everyone's willing to help.
All right, perfect.
Well, certainly great advice from those students showing their livestock at this year's event. Well, stay tuned. We'll get all the details from this week's National Teach Ag Day straight ahead right here on Rural Radio 147. Thanks for tuning in to the show. Now we head to the phones to talk to Christine White, Chief Program Officer with the National FFA. Christine, it's wonderful, of course, to have you join us. Now, earlier this week, on Thursday, we celebrated the 9th Annual Teach Ag Day. Now, before we find out how FFA commemorated the event, tell us a little bit about the annual observance and how it actually got started.
Yeah, so National Teach Ag Day is designed to encourage others that support school-based agricultural education. So really that profession of helping enrich the lives of young people around agricultural education. And so it's really a day that is focusing on the teachers, the ones that are in the classroom and the teachers who are hoping to aspire to become ag teachers in the future. And so it's really a day of just celebrating, enhancing what we're doing and really amplifying the message around what it means to be an ag teacher and the impact that they're making on the lives of young people across this country. And so it's just a really great opportunity to celebrate that. And we do that through a live webcast with our partners with the National Teach Ag Campaign, which is a project of the National Council for Agricultural Education led by our friends at the National Association of Agricultural Educators. So from National FFA, we really are a kind of a, we support the campaign from a social aspect, so really using our social media components, the hashtags, and being able to really just share the message and highlighting ag teachers across the country has been really what we've done, knowing that the National Association for Agricultural Educators really are kind of leading that platform and leading that message with the work that they're doing through their live webcast and some of the other activities that they're hosting for universities and agricultural classrooms across the country.
So one is the status of this ongoing problem, the shortage of ag teachers that we have nationwide.
Yeah, so the demand for ag teachers and those that are teaching school-based agricultural education is high. Communities and superintendents are seeing the value of teaching agriculture, food, natural resources as part of the STEM curriculums that are happening within the communities. And so what we're finding is that we're not producing enough teachers through secondary, post-secondary education, and we're looking at teachers that are coming into the field through the traditional method of a teacher education program. But then we're also finding that we have a high number of individuals that are filling those that need as alternatively certified. So someone who may have been in the industry and now is transitioning to work in the education sector. And so what we're finding is that we're needing to provide additional support to them, because it's one thing to be able to teach the content knowledge, but when you look at agricultural education, it's a three-component model. It's teaching what's happening in the classroom, it's working with students with work-based, supervised agricultural experience projects, and then it's also bringing in the FFA component of leadership development, motivation, and awards and recognition opportunities. So being able to support the need for that is really important. And then also just calling attention to those that are currently taking agricultural education, helping them to see that being an ag teacher truly is a viable career, and that there are many opportunities that they can gain and expose by going down that track as a career opportunity. I spent 7 years as an agricultural educator and FFA advisor, and one of the things that I really focused on was how do I help foster the development of my students, not just around the content of being able to know where their food comes from or the production aspects of agriculture, or even looking at the exciting technologies that are a part of the industry, but really also honing in on those life skills of how do we help ensure that students are going to be productive citizens no matter what career they go into. And so I think as we continue to look at ag education and we look at ag teachers, their job is vast, and it really entitles or encompasses a lot of things. It's not just about what's happening in the classroom, but it's also fostering that relationship with those students to help really be that career coach and help guide them on life decisions, whether it's going into directly out of high school into a college setting or going directly into the workforce, and being able to help guide that, and whether it's to fill one of the over 255 unique careers in agriculture or to influence them to consider a career in agricultural education, or, you know, really just support them in their life's decisions of where they want to go from a career base. So it's a tough job, but it's a very rewarding job for the ag teachers, and most teachers in general are not just teaching just because of the financial pieces or that it's a job. They really are doing it because it's the ability to inspire, educate, and help move people forward.
Now, aside from supporting initiatives like National Teach Ag Day, what does National FFA do to help address the teacher shortage and to support ag educators?
So as an organization, we are looking at our long-term strategic plan, and one of our pillars is around teacher recruitment and retention. And so when we look at that, it's about how do we help ensure students are aware that there's an opportunity, but then also what can we do to support the current teachers who are in the trenches working day in and day out. And so things that we look at is how we can support is what are the resources that they need, whether it's financial, educational materials, how can we support them in doing the good work that they're doing. And so we have a group of 40 teacher ambassadors that really help us to share the message of the resources and the opportunities that we have to help support teachers as they are doing their daily jobs. And so I think being able to look at those components, and it's also about how can we make their lives a little bit easier. So whether it's looking at the processes that we put in place for the programs that we offer, or making sure that the events through our career development events are rigorous and relevant and aligned to what's being taught in the classroom. It all helps because it's then bringing everything together. So it's not an add-on. It's complementary of what's happening in the classroom through those supervised agricultural experiences, all wrapped up with what they would do in an FFA activity.
Well, let's talk for a second about your role there at the National FFA. We've been talking today primarily about ag education, but what else is really at the forefront for you right now?
Well, we will be celebrating National FFA Convention and Expo here in Indianapolis, and it's also an opportunity. This year commemorates our 50 years of women being involved in the National FFA organization. So we're really excited about being able to celebrate that anniversary, knowing that women make have made a huge impact on our organization and continue to serve in leadership roles and help us to continue to grow. So we're excited about that opportunity and share that and celebrate that with our members, supporters, and teachers when they're with us here at National Convention.
Again, talking with Christine White, Chief Program Officer with the National FFA. Christine, thanks so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you.
And that'll do it for this week's show. But if you have something that you'd like to share on the program or an idea for something you'd like to hear more about, let us know. Shoot us an email at ffatoday@ffa.org or give us a call, 855-RR on 147. That's 855-776-6147. Until next week, I'm Janet Atkison with FFA Today on Rural Radio 147, Sirius XM.